I'm developing new classes. I would like to do some advanced painting classes there. I was teaching in the photography department more on the tech side.
Right.
There was a class for developing galleries for your photos to make a website. And another class was social media and you, teaching artists how to market themselves using Facebook and Twitter and getting people to see your artwork through other channels and, you know, just the networks of your friends and family and extend out to those circles.
That's a great idea. I mean, I always feel like I'm just scratching the surface now. If it's not Shutterfly, it's Director, or all these apps you can get that kind of help you along
yes.
that process. For the newbie, what sorts of resources do you suggest we zone in on?
As far as from an artist standpoint, getting your artwork out there, the biggest supporters you have are your family and friends when you're starting. And they always say, you know, start local. And to focus on your closest networks, those are the people that are really going to, you know, champion you through. You know, they're the ones that are there and they'll be there then. And using those networks, all of their friends plus your friends and the family members, you know, the cousins you haven't spoken to in years that you feel bad about. But, you know, just them liking your photograph or sharing something, every time that happens, it's another circle of people. And you have a way to expose more people to your art online than you ever will showing it in a gallery. You know, people around the world can see it, just like with sharing music, which a lot of people don't, you know, they don't like to hear that because you can't really profit that. But it's not always about the initial profit, especially with art.
Look no further than Gangnam Style.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, yes. When you were talking about painting, Zach, were you talking about digital painting and using programs, software for that, or physically painting oil on canvas sort of thing?
Both. I would like to do a class using Photoshop, strictly starting with nothing. I think there's a misconception that you need to start with an image in Photoshop. That's not true. You can create full paint strokes and imagery from nothing, just using effects and filters on color blocks. You can start with four red squares and turn it into an abstract piece. But then I would also like to do more conceptual physical painting classes with oils and paints. They have a lot of classes at Sawtooth that give you a lot of basic fundamental sets and maybe taking some of those into a more conceptual plane.
Multimedia comes to mind, but how do you describe the scope of your artistic interests?
When I consider myself mixed media, it's because I'm intrigued by process to start. So I've always tried different things. I was never happy with just a straight acrylic painting or a painting with just, you know, even my line drawings now, I start putting paint on them after, even just dabs. I don't know what it is. I just love the reactions you get from the materials talking to one another. The way that, you know, an oil mesh with an acrylic, the aesthetic might not be something all artists would like, but I find myself liking it. And combination of painting and drawing really helps me combining my, I would say maybe the atmosphere I'm going for with a more technical edge. So a lot of my painting, for instance, I start with abstract bases that I pull images out of. I pull ideas and concepts into it that weren't there originally, but I do that by mixing the medias, you know. I get the abstract and the thought process through the painting, and then I come in at the end with ink and line drawings.
Yeah. Most artists I think of as kind of being explorers by nature, but this realm of art, are there certain personality types drawn to this kind of, I think of this kind of like uber exploration thing, because it's within, not even within a single medium.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from wanting to try something different and wanting to break out of a type of mold, you know. And there's nothing wrong with a mold. You see many artists do it successfully. I'm not personally happy staying with one thing. You know, once I figure out how to do a landscape a certain way, or I figure out how to get that chair right, you know, with the light on it, whatever you're going for, then I want to push that beyond. I think it comes from a more conceptual place versus a more technical. You use a lot of the technical to express your ideas. Sometimes it's through the process of combining different aspects and pushing yourself through something you're not comfortable with, you get a result that you wouldn't get elsewhere.
It seems to always come back to vulnerability in some sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a willingness to fail as much as you have a desire to succeed.
A lot of your work is of a self-exploration nature. Why is that? Why is that important to you?
For me, I'm infatuated with impermanence and existence, just finding a purpose for myself. And I feel art is definitely my purpose. But I'm constantly trying to make myself better in every aspect of my life, my social encounters, myself at work, but especially with my art. And I find that my art's developing as my person is. And there's no easier study than myself. I can ask myself anything, and I can put myself in any situation. But it's through that process of understanding myself and why I'm here. That's pretty much the story my art is telling from my standpoint. But because it's very self-reflective, I feel there's a vulnerability there that lends itself to for the viewer to take on their own emotions and evaluate it and what it means to them and examine themselves in that moment.
Picking up the thread of self-exploration, you're working in audio, video, digital materials, drawing, other mixed media effects that I'm not even aware of. Have you found certain types of media lend themselves to more self-discovery? Some artists say that it just feels completely different, like to work with clay than it is to do oil paintings. Is there a different feel, a different result based on media?
I feel there is, especially because the way you approach the media is different depending on what it is. You'll approach a sculpture differently than a line drawing. But ultimately, it comes up to the person using the tools or the medium. You know, tools only as good as the person using it.
I'm looking at some of your video images, for example. There's so much variety there. It just struck me, when you look at Cause for Alarm, Too Many Humans, describe the feeling it gives you.
Well, you know, that was a fun piece to make. I had developed this audio track and started compiling video footage. I wanted to just make a one-off viral kind of random video talking to a lot of the news I had been hearing about and conspiracy theories about overpopulation and wanting to control that and tying in just all these ideas that are kind of, we have every end of the spectrum in society, people that's strongly supported and people that are against, you know, like with UFOs and the government and stuff. So I kind of set it up that way using old archival footage I found online. And, you know, I took samples of this radio interview with this person talking about machines and people talking about how there's too many humans. And I just used that sample in there over and over again and kind of made the aliens dancing around like we're this theater for these other species just watching us run rampant.
Well, that's, I should say, as you point out for listeners, I mean, big topics, but you certainly haven't lost your sense of humor. And one of my favorite, again, this is in a video or animated video format, is, oh, it's called Cubicle.
Yes.
The circumstances of this one, I thought were intriguing.
Yeah, that one's fun. It's a basic animated GIF that I put together when I was working in Boston at the time. I was working long hours, 70 hours a week sometimes.
Doing what?
Websites for colleges and universities across the U.S. It was a custom media department. But, you know, after being there for so long, I hadn't created anything of my own because I'd get out of work. I was so tired and with the time. And, you know, like, I've learned to push through that. But at the time, my way was to take a 15-minute break and take some shots of myself doing these really hard-edged moves in my cubicle in this confined space. And then I just looped it. But, you know, I did some filters in Photoshop and some effects, so it was a little animated, and called it Cubicle. It's just this perpetual motion that you go through, feeling like a cog almost, you know. So I think we've all experienced that at one point. You just, one day you look in the mirror and you feel like, I'm going through the motions here. I need to change it up. And
what I love about that, on, well, there are a few levels, but the first is the fact that it starts off before the movement's going full force. You're looking, oh, this person could be dancing, having a little fun, but then it's bordering the edge of this person may be just losing it.
Yeah. I often feel that way with a lot of my work. Sometimes when I step back and look at it, I think I might be losing it.
The other thing that struck me, Zach, is you mentioned that it, you know, 15 minutes, you take some images, you loop it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but go online, look at this, and see if you think, oh, this is something that I could throw together in an hour or two. It speaks to, I guess, my interest in this medium like YouTube or electronic mediums in which there are we just on this side of the learning curve in appreciating it, or how do I, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm not trying to say you're Pollock. I'm just trying to say,
no.
Who am I to know? In 50 years, maybe that sort of gesture is you did in 15 minutes, but that was solid gold.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with the internet is instant gratification, you know, and we want that now, the immediacy of having information or knowing the newest trend or seeing art in general. I mean, you know, the hottest new track, whatever it is, it spreads faster than you, you know, it's almost not even worth buying a newspaper anymore. By the time you get it, you've already read half of the articles or seen it in a feed or...
I used to get Newsweek magazine back in the day. That was pretty passe the last few years. It's just, okay, I saw that article 3-4 days ago.
Right.
What about the new materials excites you most, Zach, in terms of your art or just in terms of what you're hoping to learn more about moving forward?
What's possible with just the tools that you have available to you. Because a long time ago, you wanted to make a record, you know, you needed to know somebody, get into a studio, get them to promote you. Now you can do it all yourself.
You're an author, you self-publish.
Right, you can self-publish. And then it's kind of up to the masses whether you succeed or fail, you know. I think we have to be careful not to devalue what artists are doing in that respect. That's one thing with the immediacy is that just as quickly as we can put someone on a soapbox, we can kick them off. And there's real artists doing real things every day. And then there's a lot of instant gratification on the internet that kind of gets taken away. It's interesting to see what culture deems great art or not great art.
I can give you a hint. If it has cats in it, it's great art because it gets 500 million hits on YouTube.
You know, it's like you'll see people sharing all these cat videos. You'll see three of your friends share the same cat video, and you'll be like, no, one of you shared that image I posted yesterday. But damn, that cat is cute.
Oh, and he's so cute. I mean, look at the little whiskers on that thing. It's unbelievable. The cream floats to the top most of the time, but some of the time the garbage gets up there too. But then, I mean, you're tapping into looking at outsider art. What's the artist? What's the non-artist? The lines do seem to be blurring these days.
They are, and it's hard. That's the one thing as an artist trying to do it yourself, trying to get authenticity to what you do in a way. Or, I mean, you kind of have to do it for yourself because ultimately the feedback you get is only going to hopefully make you better in the long run. But ultimately you have to do it for yourself because when you put it on the internet or you put it on the wall and you put it out in the public, you leave yourself to be torn apart.
Abstractions is the name of the exhibit. We're talking a lot about video and mixed media in that sense, but you're also a traditional artist, not necessarily representational art, abstract art, and a little of both, elements of cartooning in there. How would you describe Every Time I Break? It seems like a lot of layers in that drawing painting.
Yeah, with that piece and a lot of my paintings, the people are always breaking apart in some way. Whether their head is breaking off into pieces and floating up, or which it is in that piece, but he's breaking from every side, even to the point where his organs are starting to break. And as they break, they start turning into these floating little islands or terrain. But that idea was kind of about every time I break, it's when I read a lot about the news and what's going on around the world, and, you know, both here in America and abroad. And it's just some of the things that people are put through. You know, my heart breaks for these people. And every time I hear that, you know, like people are being oppressed here or people are dying here, just, you know, just because they live in this area of the world, they're stuck there. Every time I break, kind of was speaking to that, but also almost like how, even though he's breaking, he's being freed. He's changing into something else. And it's really just making the most of your situation and being aware of what's around you. A little perspective is good for all of us.
It seems sincere somehow. The expression on his face, the image, it works for me. So, I mean, I thank you for that. But what's the feeling like when you're working through a canvas like that?
Well, I mean, I kind of live in that place, in a state of trying to be aware of others and what's happening. And I'm always aware, just with little things that I do during the day. I won't get into them because they're really quirky. But some of the things, even my mood and my emotion when I'm painting, it comes from a real place, a real concern for humanity or what appears to be a lack of humanity towards each other. We have the resources and the knowledge and the materials, literally, to feed everyone, to shelter everyone. But we just don't. I know that, you know, it's not that we just don't. But at the end of the day, it is. It really comes down to politics and things that the people that are really suffering have no control over. They're stuck in that way because of where they live. And they were born there.
Lots of thoughtful works on display at Sawtooth, the exhibit Abstractions. Are you familiar with any of the other artists at the exhibit? What sorts of things can we expect to see there?
There's a lot of great work. We have Marta Blades, who does, we're all abstract artists, but her color tones and her dialogue is really great to experience. Norton Barnhill, also a painter, and I believe he's a former basketball player for the NBA. I haven't met him yet, but his work is really, really interesting. Large format pieces, but, you know, I think he's like 6'8", so he can actually paint them, you know, like without support of ballasts and pulleys. His work is really interesting. Alex Norwood, who actually submitted line drawings for this. I believe he also does abstract paintings normally, which if you look up his work, it's really intense. I like it. But he did line drawings, which were really interesting. They stand out because it's all this room of abstract painting and sculpture, and he has the line drawings. It was really interesting to see.
How many artists are involved in the exhibit, do you know?
I believe there's 7. And Alex Fansler is doing an ongoing sculpture that he's adding to. It's changing as the exhibit goes on, which is really interesting to watch. He's an intriguing fellow.
How'd the artist reception go?
That went well. Yeah, we had a good turnout for that.
And that dynamic of having people look at your art while you're in the room, is it tough? Is it easy? Is it fun? What were your feelings along those lines?
I usually enjoy it. Their reaction or lack of reaction, I try to gauge what they're getting out of it. I almost feel, you know, like a spy sometimes. But, you know, in a way, they're really, really looking into me without knowing it. You know, I'm sure they're aware that it comes from a place and that's internal for me, but they're spying on me and I'm spying on them. It's a really interesting exchange. But sometimes some people don't even look at your piece. They look at it for a second and walk off. And you wonder, what was the disconnect? You know, was it the colors throw you off? Was it too loud? Was the dialogue too loud? Or is it just you not interested? You know, which is fine. You can be not interested. And you wonder the same when you leave a picture hanging online and you only get like a couple likes. You wonder, is there something wrong with this piece? I liked this one better than the one that 23 people shared, you know? It's interesting. I always get a mixed reaction from the public. A lot of times when I finish a piece, I don't like it anymore. But that's happening less and less to me. I'm really enjoying where my work's going now. And I think it's really helped me personally. I think I've become better in the last couple of years in every aspect of myself.